You're listening to the Missional Marketing Podcast, a show for church leaders, church communications professionals, and ministry volunteers. Our goal is to help your church grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications.
If you can't measure it, you probably shouldn't spend money on it. You really need to be able to quantify the effectiveness of your marketing campaigns, which is one of the reasons that digital is probably supreme to all of those things. So if you can't measure it, you probably shouldn't spend money on it when it comes to digital marketing and outreach. This is the Missional Marketing Podcast. I'm Bart Blair, joined by the CEO of Missional Marketing, Mr. Jason Hamrock. Good day to you, Jason.
Good day, Bart. How are you today?
I am doing very well. I'm excited to be doing this podcast episode with you today. We've been doing them a little more frequently as of late, but maybe not as frequently as we'd like to. So I always enjoy hanging out with you and having the conversations that we do. We have surpassed the five-year mark of this podcast. Can you believe it? We started this podcast in April, May of 2020, and it's 2025. So the time we're recording this, June of 2025. We've been doing this podcast for 5 years.
It's
crazy to think about. I wasn't on a lot of the first season with you. A lot of the first season you did on your own, and then somehow I got drugged into doing this.
But I can do this on my own.
It has been a lot of fun. For those of you who are listening, maybe for the first time, we produce this podcast because we want to help churches better leverage digital marketing and communications to see your church grow. We want to see your church grow, reach more people for Jesus. And that's really important for us. That's the heartbeat of who we are as individuals. It's what we are. It's the heartbeat of our company is to help churches reach more people.
We just spoke about that because we've got coaches that work with churches, and it is so powerful when we can sink into your culture in the church. And we know a lot about church. So when we sink in, we can ask a lot of questions and just go there and work together on how do you improve everything. And today's topic's going to dive into that, but that is so rewarding that we get to do that as a group.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you haven't ever subscribed, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, make sure that you do that, mostly because we've been a little inconsistent as of late with dropping episodes. And if you subscribe, then you're going to get it when it comes out. We try to do one on drop every Friday, but we're kind of hit and miss lately just because we're spinning a lot of plates and doing a lot of things. However, it's not all your fault. However, I do want to plant the seed that we have an episode coming up in just a couple of weeks where we're going to be interviewing the senior developer at Missional Marketing, Mr. Jason Collier. And we did an episode about a year or so ago with Jason on sort of SEO 101. We should link to that in the show notes because it was a really brilliant episode. Jason is actually going to jump into a conversation with us to talk about how AI is changing or not changing the search engine optimization landscape. This is a question that a lot of people have, or it's a question that people aren't even thinking about, and yet it is something that they need to be
thinking
about.
They are right now. You just let the cat out of the bat. You need to be thinking about AI SEO.
It's really tricky because for every article that you might read that says AI is killing SEO, there are other articles that I find that say it's not quite there yet. There are some lessons that you need to learn. And so we're going to bring Jason on because he's probably the smartest guy on our team, and at least in regards to those types of things. And so it's going to be a really great conversation. So make sure that you subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes, especially the one that we have coming up with Mr. Collier.
Also, if you have a webmaster or somebody else make sure you include them in listening on this podcast that Jason is going to be a part of. It is going to affect your church. It's not if, it's just when. When is this going to start to really affect your church from an SEO perspective and traffic to your website? Not if, because we know it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, another thing that is coming up on the horizon, Jason, is the Church Communications Conference. Can you share a little bit with our audience about that? Because at the time that this is being released, you probably still have time to register and to make a plan to attend. So why don't you give the details on that?
Yeah, and Bart will put a code in there to give you some money off.
Can I give him a discount code?
Yeah, I'll
give
you sure can.
Code. Okay, look in the show
really
notes
for the discount code. So September 17th, 18th, and 19th. 17th in the afternoon, all day 18th, and then September 19th in the morning in Chicago. I'm really pumped about this. Is not a conference where you're going to walk away with a couple of nuggets. This is a working conference. You have a plan that you are already implementing at your church as a comms director or part of the comms team. What you're doing is as effective as you've got right now. You're going to come into the conference and we're going to challenge and we're going to talk about a lot of things. You're going to walk away asking lots of questions about our current methods and strategies. And we're going to teach a lot about a funnel of helping people become more aware of you. So awareness is going to be a major part of the conference and in the working part of it. And then it's going to move to attendance. How are you helping people move from awareness to attendance, attending your church? Now, we know the statistics, and they've been a little bit goofy since the pandemic, but what is it, 1.6, 1.7 times a month somebody attends your church? How do you move and how do you engage the people attending your church? And then the final one is action. This is, I get goosebumps when I think about this, because a church exists for multiple reasons, but two commandments that Jesus gave us. That is love one another. He said that. If you want to be my disciple, you'll love one another. The second one, go make disciples. So the action part is, how are we creating disciples, followers of Jesus? And this conference is going to study all three of those areas and breaking them down. So you're going to get tons of resources. You're going to get tons of education. And probably the best thing you'll get out of there is connection, community. And so I'm just really pumped about this conference. We have totally redone it. I'm excited about it. A lot of people are signing up. It's in Chicago. It's in September. You got time to register for it. Bart will give you a discount code just because you're part of this podcast. But I tell you, it's going to be a game changer for a lot of people.
Yeah. You know, when we do our road shows and when we do the conference, the one piece of feedback that we always get that's like top tier is, I don't feel like I'm in this alone anymore. I've got a tribe. I've got a group of people. So for, you know, the content is going to be great. Jason will be one of the keynote speakers. Dr. David Thorne from the AI for Churches team here as part of the Mission Marketing Company. And then Mark McDonald from Be Known for Something, who's also been a podcast podcast guest here with us a couple of times and just really, really brilliant church communicator and marketing guy, will be one of our other keynote speakers. And then we have lots of workshops, lots of smaller group breakout sessions that you get to choose from to really enhance the skills and the knowledge base that you have on the areas that are going to be most important for you, depending on where you're coming from and what the demographic of your church
is. And some surprises. Some surprises are coming along. I'm not going to say.
I don't even know the surprises. I will be surprised as well, but I will be there and I will be leading some workshops and look forward to meeting some of you. I will mention this as well. If you can't make the conference in Chicago, we do have a few additional road shows that are coming up in the fall. I know we have San Antonio and we have Houston. Do you recall what the other ones are?
I'm going to be over in LA as well.
Okay, Los Angeles.
And before the conference in August, I'm going to be in Michigan and also in Ohio. I think Detroit and I think Dayton, Ohio and Detroit, Michigan.
Okay. Sure.
So yeah, I've got quite a few. And then we're going to be in Oklahoma City and Colorado Springs. Now we will be rolling out our 2026 road shows. There's going to be, I think, 16 cities we're coming to. So chances are we might be really near you.
If you're listening to this as it has been released, we have probably already done Oklahoma City and Colorado Springs by the time this gets out. But check the Church Communications Group website, which is churchcommunications.com. Churchcommunications.com. You can find the information about the conference as well as the road shows. If you're not in the Church Communications Facebook group, make sure that you join the Church Communications Facebook group. Just Google Church Communications in groups in Facebook and you'll find it. Join that group. And we're constantly reminding folks there of the opportunities that we have with that portion of our brand in our company. So, okay. Man, this has been an 8-minute commercial. Let's stop with the commercializing and let's get on. Well, we are a marketing company, so we're marketing the things that we're doing. But what we really want to focus in on this particular conversation is church budgeting. Jason, I mentioned earlier before we started recording that we know we're in a season right now coming into the summer where churches are either, if they're on a fiscal year, sometimes they reset. Might be a little bit late for you if you're on a 25, 26 fiscal year, but if you're on a calendar year budget and you're going to be budgeting in the late summer or the fall for your 2026 budget, there's some things that you might want to consider as you look at your marketing plan, your marketing strategy. And this has come up for me a couple of times because I've had some recent calls with churches who like just put their budgets together for next year. And they were like, oh, if I didn't think of that, oh, I should have considered that. And now they've already got this little budget approved and they're like, oh, there's a few things that I wish I could have worked in there. So we wanted to just kind of, you know, throw a few things out on the table today, some things that you can be considering as you're working with your leadership team to establish a marketing and communications budget, a digital outreach budget, as we might call it sometimes. Yeah. And that way you go in with a little more of a framework for what you want to accomplish rather than just throwing a number in the budget and hoping that it meets your needs and gets you what you want. So Jason, why don't you start really with just some of the basic things that as when you were a church communications director, I can speak as being a pastor who worked on that. I can't speak as a communications director who worked on that, but what were some of the things that were always super critical for you or that you would think would be super critical as you're planning for an annual marketing or communications budget?
Well, the first thing is obviously understanding what you have to work with.
Yeah.
And then of course they're going to say, hey, everyone, good news is we get to keep our budget the same as last year. Hopefully that's good news. Or great news would be like, everybody, we get to increase it. You know, we were doing really well on our income in terms of giving. And so we think we're going to, you know, get that much giving. So everybody gets to get 5% more or something like that. So you first got to figure out, what do I have to work with? Right. That's obviously, if you don't know that, go ask. You know, especially for younger, not comms directors, but younger departments that haven't been around very long, they may not have a budget established. So talk to your boss and figure out what that looks like. That's the first thing. Wrap your arms around that. Then the next thing that I'm always asking about is, well, what if I have some special projects? What do you mean? Well, you know, it's been 6 years since we redid our website. If I ask for monies for a new website, is that going to be lumped into my budget or is that special project budget? How does that work? Or maybe it's a new app or, you know, we want to do a big direct mail piece or something like, you know, just something, right? Christmas and Easter, whatever that might look like. So you're trying to figure out what are the big nuggets that I know I really want to try and accomplish in the next fiscal year. Can I bring that outside of my church communications budget? So you want to figure out what's the playing field around here. That's really the first thing. You probably had to deal with that some.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've only served on staff in church plants and, you know, our budget fluctuated a lot from year to year. Now, again, as a church plant, this is one of the advantages I think that we always had versus more established churches is that in a church plant, you have no people or you have very few people and you're constantly like the whole focus of your ministry, 90% of it is outward facing. It's how do we connect with new people in the community? So from a percentage standpoint, almost always a little bit easier to leverage larger portions of your outreach budget for digital marketing and for those pieces because there's a high level of value when it comes to outreach and evangelism. Now, one of the things to kind of hit on something that you said, Jason, you said, okay, let's say for instance, that the budget that we have for 2026 is the same as the budget we had for 2025. One of the things that I think I would caution churches from doing, and they all do it, we all do it, we have all done it, is we do the same thing next year we did this year and we did last year. Why? Because we've always done it that way. Yeah. I think that, pardon me, I think that one of the challenges that we need to, one of the exercises we need to go through is we need to look back at the past year and evaluate the effectiveness of the things that we did. You know, and I'll be perfectly honest with you. You know, I have had some churches that have run some ad campaigns with us from time to time for different things. And when we kind of circle back around on the next year and go, hey, are you going to promote that thing again? Are you going to run Meta ads or Google ads or whatever? They're like, well, you know, when we looked at the results of that, it didn't really produce the kind of results that we were hoping for. I'm like, that's totally fine and totally fair. You know, let's not spend money on ad campaigns to promote something or the same type of ad if it didn't produce the results that you were looking for. The win for that church is that they actually stopped and took the time to evaluate the productivity or the effectiveness of the campaign. So I have worked with many churches, as have you, that we do a mailer two or three times a year. We spend umpteen thousand dollars on these mailers every year. And why do we do the mailers? Well, we do the mailers because we've always done the mailers. And so I start asking the question, well, could we could we actually, could we either kill the mailer or cut back on the mailer? Can we actually evaluate the effectiveness of the mailer? Because if we can't, and we're going to do the mailers again this next year, maybe we need to try a different strategy so that we can actually better measure whether or not we're spending money on something that's moving the needle. So the first thing that I would do is reevaluate the past 12 months or the past 24 months. What are the things you've done? Can you quantify the effectiveness of those things? Because you might, even without an increase in your budget, you might be able to move some things around to do more in some areas and less in other areas that might get you more traction going forward.
Well, that does bring me to my second point. So once you do figure out, you know, how much cash do I get to work with? Like, you just got to know what that number is. It's got to be a number. The second thing is looking at the past year or 2 years or 3 years. And not only what you said is just really, really intelligent, Bart, it's, did we move the needle? The question I ask is, what needle? Mm-hmm. What was the goal? And now this is a little bit bigger conversation. And I'm going to go on a limb here to say that most comms people are not asking this question. The question to my boss would be, hey, boss, what were our goals in 2025 for 2024? He might say, well, what are you talking about? Well, did we have specific goals that actually move the needle of our discipleship plan or path? So we're all in this to help people become apprentices, like we're of Jesus. We're supposed to follow him. What is that at our church? You know, baptisms are great goals. Attendance is a great goal. Small groups is a great goal. Serving is a great goal. Giving is a great goal. Like, those are the goals. How do we do? And I just said this earlier with the church. Most businesses like ours, we're in business because we have to make money to pay the bills. Everybody likes to get, I like to get a paycheck. Art likes to get a paycheck every now and then. We have to pay our bills. So our currency is money. And most, you know, secular, it's money. But in the church world, the currency isn't money. It's people. People are your currency. Now, people, you know, they give to, we have to run this like a business because you have to pay the bills, but our currency is people. So my question is, how's business? How's business? So if you can wrap your arms around, what did we do? How did our budget that we actually spent money on this last year, did it impact our business, if that makes sense? So if you can kind of figure that out, then boy, what you just said was perfect. Hey, we did that. And we don't know. Or we did this and, well, we think that really worked. You know, we did a direct mail piece and we don't know. Or maybe you do know. So you have to kind of figure out the data to know if you were effective or not, which is going to then help you to the next thing is reimagining what you're going to spend those dollars on. Right. And so when I was a comm director, I fought for every dollar I could get. You know, and that was a long time ago, but I knew that I had so much money I could spend, even though I had it broken down into categories. Like, I had to pay for this, I had to pay for this, I had to pay for this. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? We don't really need to pay for that because we already have stuff that we don't really need to pay for that. So I'm going to use those dollars for something else. And I was always trying to be loose with that and strategic with that because it came to the close to the end of the year. I wanted to spend all the money. I made the big mistake. Don't ever make this. I paid the stupid tax. 1 year, I was so proud of myself, and our budget was maybe a couple hundred thousand dollars. And at the end of the year, I didn't. This is early on. I think we spent like $175. And I was kind of proud of myself. I remember telling our business administrator, like, "Hey, look, good news is I was able to, you know, do what we were able to do, and we came in at $179,000. And so our budget was $200. And he's like, "Okay, guess what happened." Budget season came around. My new level is 175. Yeah.
I'm like, wait, whoa,
yeah. He's like, well, you just proved to me that you could do ministry at 175, not 200. So I needed that $25,000 for something else. What did I do? I learned, don't ever do that. So I always wanted to spend all the money that I was like allotted for in my ministry, but to the point of that, you know, that you know, the phase three part of that is being strategic. I just mentioned a little bit ago, if you weren't listening, into the funnel process. I would also do that with your budget. What dollars are you using that's going to continue to increase in awareness to the community about your church? And there's, you got to spend money on that stuff.
Like, yeah. You don't have a choice. You've got to spend money on yours. That's not the only way you grow your church. You utilize the people go to your church, spend some money there too. But I try to break it up into that external versus internal budget process when I'm thinking about how I'm going to divvy the money and utilize it the best.
Yeah, for those of you who are about to turn the podcast off because Jason had a $200,000 marketing budget and that seems extreme to you. I just for perspective, the last church that I pastored, our church's entire budget was only about $250,000. So we did not have a marketing budget of $200,000. Our missions budget was 10% of our total budget, right? Mm-hmm. So $250,000 budget, $250,000. So our entire missions budget was $25,000. And the marketing came out of the missions budget. We considered that local missions or local outreach. So it was a fraction of that. But here's how I got creative in those days. I mean, I was the senior pastor, but I was also the person over all the marketing and communication. I had to get it approved by my elder board, but I was the one that got to make those decisions. And what I would do is I would have a marketing budget. Okay. I would have a separate internal communications budget. And I'm to be honest with you, my marketing / outreach budget was much bigger than my internal budget. One thing that always kind of cheeses me a little bit with churches, and sorry if my cheesing at you upsets you, but it's not a 50-50 deal. We should not spend even close to as much money on internal marketing as we do external, but we will. We'll pay for all kinds of signage and printed materials and all kinds of stuff to promote, to let people in our church know when the Easter services are, when we're not spending nearly enough money outside the church to let people know what kind of ministry opportunities and engagements there are. So that's a personal
pet. Well, there's another thing that I also love to teach, and that is, you know, the marketplace, small businesses marketplace. If you're a starter, if you want to start, hang a shingle out and then get a sign and you're one to sell stuff. You know, most businesses are going to spend at least when they're getting going, at least 15 to 20% of all their income towards marketing because they're trying to grow. I mean, you have to. You get into like the Walmarts, Home Depots, they're spending like a very small fraction, like a 0.2% of their overall income to marketing because they're so well established. Okay, here's the rule of thumb though. Most churches should spend at least 3 to 5% of their overall budget towards external marketing. So you can kind of do the math. If you're a $1 million, you know, you get $1 million annually, right? That pays for everything. 3 to 5% of that really should be earmarked for external advertising. And most churches go, what? Well, yeah, because you're a small business. I mean, the difference between two differences between you and the marketplace is number one, you have a marketing team of people sitting in your seat. You can lean on the people in your seats at your congregation to invite and bring their friends. If I'm at a hardware store, I can say, hey, bring a friend back. But that feels weird. Like, just come back soon. That's usually what you hear. You come back soon. But you don't bring friends with you. At church, you have that ability. And the second thing that you have that those people don't have is the Holy Spirit. It's His church. So you have the Spirit that can use and move people in your church to invite and bring their friends and stretch those dollars, right? Those kingdom dollars are different from real math dollars, right? You could spend money okay, Lord, we're planting these digital seeds. We need you to do your thing. So you have that going for you. But 3 to 5% is really what you should be spending on external advertising.
Yeah, there's financial capital and there's human capital in the context of the church. And, you know, I've tried to figure out, you know, the formula because this is just the way that my brain goes. So if you're a business, one of the things that you're going to track, if you watch Shark Tank, you'll hear the sharks always ask this question: what is your cost of client acquisition? How much does it cost you to get a customer? Meaning, what, you know, you spend how many marketing dollars and how many new customers does that generate? And so they're always going to put a dollar amount on it. They're going to say, you know, it's $20 or $50 or $500 or $5,000, whatever it costs. From a church perspective, we can't always tie a dollar to a new attendee or a new member in the church, because we have this human capital that we get to spend, which is if we're investing in and discipling the people inside of our church as well, they are going to be bringers. They are going to be people who invite. They're going to be people who are investing in relationships with people who are far from God, see your church as the best thing since sliced bread. And they're going to be the best evangelists and the best marketers for your church, whether that's online or in their neighborhood or in the cubicle farm at work, right? Whatever that that looks like. I will say this though, you should measure it. You should measure everything. And this is another, I think another issue I kind of get back to looking at the previous years and evaluating the effectiveness of the marketing campaigns that you're doing, whether it's mailers or digital or, you know, however you're doing that, you know, front yard signs, billboards, is that if you can't measure it, you probably shouldn't spend money on it. Yeah. You really need to be able to quantify the effectiveness of your marketing campaigns, which is one of the reasons that digital is probably supreme to all of those things, because it does allow you the ability to see how many ad impressions you got, how many clicks to your website you got, what the engagement rate was for the people who are clicking to your website, meaning did they actually spend time on the website or did they just click your ad, see your page, and jump, bounce right off. So if you can't measure it, you probably shouldn't spend money on it when it comes to digital marketing and outreach. Now, it's hard to measure a billboard, but there are ways of measuring billboard traffic by using unique URLs or subdomains or QR codes or things like QR codes on billboards. Seems a little dangerous. Seems a little dangerous to me, but you know, or postcards. You do a mailer, use a unique trackable QR code. Don't just put a Canva free QR code on there where you can't tell where that traffic is coming from. Spend the extra money on the trackable QR code so that you can say, hey, we mailed 50,000 postcards. And of the 50,000 postcards we mailed, we had 1,000 people who clicked to the website using the QR code that was on there, right? If you can't measure it, you probably shouldn't spend money on it. Just give yourself an opportunity to evaluate hard before you run those campaigns on how you're going to measure the results on things.
Well, and I think when you're thinking about your budget, I mean, obviously, yeah, I mean, you're looking in the past to figure out, was that successful or not? You know, it really helps you understand with digital tools, at least, did we get the traction we're looking for? And AI is changing a lot of the game on this. If you're not quite sure, use Claude or ChatGPT to help you figure out what a budget should look like. That would be interesting to do. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're saying there, Bart, is strategies are so key to having a budget that ends up, you're proud of what you did at the end of the year. You look back and go, hey, we were able to really make some progress here. And we didn't do it by ourselves. There's a lot of prayer of the Lord moving to help us grow. But we should be able to look back in some of our data points and go, yeah, activities were up, attendance was up, and you know, first-time guests were up. Can we identify that ratio 1-to-1? No, it's really, really difficult. But if the efforts you're doing now and the money you spent now, if that data says, well, this is the baseline, you did this with this kind of money, maybe go back 2 years to see if that was what that looked like. And now next year, keep looking at that and you'll kind of know it's a long game. It's not like, you know, you're in it and out of it. You really want to be paying attention to the longevity, years of doing this, not just one slice of a year. It's too difficult. You kind of expand to see how you've really helped your church grow.
One of the things you mentioned earlier, Jason, was website. And I just want to throw this out here as just one sort of little side note. The effectiveness of any marketing campaign that you do is really, it's not going to depend on the quality of your ads. It's going to be the quality of the landing page that you're driving people to. The ad is designed to get somebody to take the first step of action, which is to learn more about you, learn more about the event, the activity, whatever it is that you're doing. The quality of your landing page is really, that's where you're selling the person. So whether it's through a video or through written copy or for images or for, you know, free content that you're offering on that landing page. And I will say about 9 out of 10 churches that we have the privilege to run ad campaigns with, and those of you who are listening, you can decide which category you fall in here. The landing page is an afterthought to the ad campaign. They really don't put enough, they'll put all this time and this energy and effort into creating this event, And then the landing page gets like just a cursory, we're just going to copy and paste something and put a few little pictures on here. And it doesn't sell. And I would say, ask yourself the question, if you didn't know anything about your church and you landed on the landing page, would it convince you to take action? Like, you really have to be honest with yourself, because I think that, you know, spending a little bit of extra time, spending a little bit of extra money, really leveling up that landing page where you're driving the website traffic for the ad campaigns, whether that's print or billboard or mailers or digital, you've got to really make that landing page, it's got to shine. It's got to be the thing that really convinces the person, your church is the right fit for me, or this event is something I absolutely have to prioritize for my family on this particular date at this particular time, right?
Yeah, you know, and because we're talking about budgets here, it's going, did the money we spent, so if we got some budget money for digital ads and we got a bunch of clicks, they land on that landing page, you know, from there, how do we know if they got into a seat? And that's my point, is it's, that's a hard, there are some technologies that are, they're a little more expensive though, to be able to track. But I just think from the standpoint of when I was doing this at my church, I would literally look at what I was spending money on and different things. And I just looked over here and thought, well, gosh, you know, we grew by 12%, you know, weekend attendance, and our baptisms grew by 15%. You know, our small group stuff grew, but that one didn't grow there. Okay. I had to just kind of see what was happening and go, well, these are the things I was doing, and they seem to be working. But as Bart is saying, there are some things you can track really, really well. And there's some things you're just, okay, we're going to promote summer camps, you know, VBS or something like that, and we're going to sell out. But there's just this thing that I want to point and talk a little bit about. And that's just like the laws of averages of marketing. If you read most marketing books, they're going to say you need to have touch points of like 7 touch points. 7 touch points for somebody to take some action, right? That's why, you know, companies, insurance companies, run ads so often, right? And you see billboards, and then you see you're driving around and you get something in the mail. 7 touch points. In the church world, I think it's more like 12 touch points. It's just more. However, the power of some of your touch points can like multiply. Like if you got a sermon snippet and your pastor just dropped, like he was like, wow, that was really, really good. That impacted somebody. They might think of it like 6 or 7 times. So you don't need 12. They just, your pastor nailed it 6 or 7 times because it keeps sticking in their head, right? But I think about those touch points of there's just some things we have to do. We don't ever want to stop advertising digitally. So in your budgets, what I would do is I would certainly have a Christmas and an Easter budget, but I'd have it every month where just evergreen kind of ads that we're constantly running, because we know it takes touch points for people to move, to get some action. How are you going to like track that? You really can't. You can look at the clicks to the website, and maybe you could actually drive. Now, there are some things you can do. I couldn't drive somebody, this church I just talked to in North Carolina, they're doing this. They're sending all their ads to a hidden page. And on that hidden page, they've got a couple of different forms. In fact, they've got a couple of different hidden pages, like A-B testing to figure out which form is working best. They run it for a couple months and then they make some tweaks to it. So it's kind of long game stuff. But out of that form that's on that landing page, you get somebody, this is, Bart has a church that does. I love this idea. Let us send you some information about your visit to our church. Just shoot us your email, you know, put your email in here. That's brilliant. You is a such low easy. I'll just enter my email. You'll send me a PDF so I can learn about my visit. We don't know if they came up, but now you just got that lead. And it converted because there was an ad that drove to that page. So there are some things you can track. But for the most part, I want to say that you're spending money, and it's sort of the organic way that you know your church is growing, and what you're doing is moving the needle. And I think that's important to understand. You got to have that ongoing evergreen stuff. And then you can kind of get strategic on, is this actually working? Because then if it is working for 2026 or 2027, whatever year we're talking about, double down. Let's say I just spent $500 for that. I want to spend $1,000 or $2,000 because it's working. I'm going to quit this other thing because I can't know if it's working.
Hey, here's a little hack that I learned years ago with my board and people who were helping me manage my budget is that when it came to Christmas and Easter, I did Christmas and Easter marketing out of the Christmas and Easter budget, not out of my marketing budget. So we had a budget for Christmas, a budget for Easter. And when it came time to run ad campaigns for those things, I went to the Christmas and the Easter budget and I pulled money from those areas rather than using them for my marketing budget, or I supplemented from that. I'm like, hey, I can pull a few hundred dollars from each of those budgets, supplement my marketing budget. And now all of a sudden, instead of having $500 to spend on an ad campaign, I've got $1,000 to spend on an ad campaign or something.
Yes, do the same thing. Go to Children's Ministry and say, hey, how much money are you going to give me to promote your VBS?
Right.
You know, VBS is like church-wide. A lot of churches do VBS. Make the children's ministry pay for that, not you.
Yeah, exactly. Or at least supplement your budget for the point of effectiveness. Yeah. Jason, we need to wrap this up, and I'm gonna land the plane here and say one of the things I want to promote as a benefit of partnering with Missional Marketing. If you work with us to run digital ad campaigns, mm-hmm. we offer, as just part of the general services that we offer, probably one of the best metric dashboards for marketing and advertising campaigns of anybody in this industry. I've actually had two conversations with two churches this week that either use us in concurrent relationship with another marketing company that provides them similar services or even overlapping services. And both of them have told me in the last 2 days that the data that we get from us is the most helpful, the most useful. The reporting tools are the best. Kudos, shout out to our team that over the last couple of years, they have worked so hard to build these dashboards that we have so that we can pull website, social media, marketing data, and you get a monthly executive report. You can do a deeper dive into all the basic details. So I just want to let churches that are listening to this know that if you don't even know how to measure what you're getting from your marketing campaigns, you know, it's hard to get into Meta. It's hard to get into Google and really make a lot of sense of it. Our dashboards do that for you. So there's a shameless plug for working with Missional Marketing. But
it's effective.
I'm going to offer this as well. If you're a church that's not currently working with Missional Marketing and you want to meet with Jason or me to talk about planning your budget for the upcoming year, we'll get on a free half hour call with you. So no obligation, no cost. You can go to our website, missionalmarketing.com. You can fill out a form and say that you want to meet with somebody to talk about your marketing budget. We'll let our team know to set that call up with you or with Jason or with Bart or maybe one of our other coaches. We've got a guy on our team named Zach. If you've been to any of our road shows or conference, you know Zach. He's a super, super sharp guy on our team as well. And we can sit down with you and we can help you roadmap what your budget might need to be. If it works out that you get to work with Missional Marketing, great. If not, we're just going to give a half hour to God's kingdom work because that's important to us and get a chance to get to know you and another church. Now, if you happen to be listening to this podcast episode and you are currently working with Missional Marketing, please make sure that when you have your next coaching call with your coach, that you talk about your budget for next year. Sometimes it catches up with us and we get caught off guard and it surprises them like, oh shoot, I've got to have my numbers in like next Thursday. And we don't really have enough lead time to like sit down and evaluate where we've been and where we want to go. So make sure that you've got that on your radar so that you can meet with your Missional Marketing coach and have that conversation. Jason, any parting words before we sign off today?
No, but budgets, it's coming up. It's something you have to do every year. So try to take advantage of the data. Tying the data to the revenue, the money, is so important to do.
Yep. My parting word is going to be subscribe, please. If you haven't subscribed wherever you're listening or to our YouTube channel, make sure that you do that so that you don't miss any future episodes. And with that, on behalf of Jason and myself, Bart, we're going to sign off. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast.
This podcast is a production of Missional Marketing. Our goal is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. For more information, visit our website at missionalmarketing.com.